Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Fires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. And I know why you're here now, because you heard Joe Barker is going to be back on the show. I don't blame you. You know, I'm cool with that, folks. If you're here to visit to hear my guests and not so much to hear me, that's fine. Whatever it takes to get you the information you need. You know, my ego is, you know, I'll be fine. Don't worry about me. Joel is here, folks. Joe Barker is a guy that I love selling this story. I didn't see his book when it came out first, called Future Edge, but I did see it when it came out later as a paperback, and the video called Paradigms, The Business of Paradigms. And that book, those perspectives, along with 10 years prior to that, reading Megatrends by John Nesbitt, those two guys did more to set me on a higher plane of thinking for the 21st century, even though they were 10 and 25 and 20 years before the 20th century, those guys did more to help me with that than anything. And now, you know, it's like a dream come true. Joel's become our friend. He's a member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of the new book, Five Regions of the Future. He is a futurist. He also is a filmmaker. And I think he's got a new one in the works. But I'm very happy to say he's a member of our Brain Trust and our friend, Joel Barker. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And by the way, John Nesbitt just really gets tickled when I mention your name along with his. He's so impressed. He's so impressed when that happens.
Well, it goes both ways too. You know, he in many ways he opened up the public to how important it was to think about the future with his Megatrends book.
Well, yeah, and I still quote the one magic thing that he said in his book, and it still resonates perfectly today. When I tell people, and I paraphrase him just a little bit, and I say, yes, Nesbitt said, we will always have high tech. We're going to have more high tech. But that doesn't mean people won't always still want high touch.
Yep. Yeah, he contributed about three kind of major thoughts, and the high tech, high touch was one, because nobody was thinking about the touch side of it when he said, that's not going away. And he's right. He's right. By the way, there's the Japanese are producing a new robot for elderly and little children that looks like a baby seal, and it's built for high touch, Jim.
I'll be darned. Well, yeah, you know, the way that I've converted that more recently for my audience, the high touch thing, is I tell my audience, never build a website or any technology that you want your customers to use unless there's in it, something in it for them.
Yep.
Everything that you do from a technological standpoint, there has to be something in it for them, not just to make it better for you.
Yeah, the return, in fact, I was just with the Association for Professional Futurists in New York City last week, and we were talking about this thing of the exchange, and the 21st century is not going to be passivity, sit and watch the TV. Mm-hmm. The 21st mm-hmm. century is, I want to get engaged, I yep. want to learn, I want to grow, I want to have fun, but not I just want to watch.
Right, absolutely, no question about it. Joe, one of the things that I'm glad you want to talk about today is a topic that's very much on everyone's mind. It's something that I've been covering now since day one of my show. I've been talking about the energy issues. I've interviewed a number of people who are developing alternative energies, hydrogen cells, ethanol, switchgrass, all that sort of thing. We've covered quite a bit of these topics. Energy is one of the major issues of the future of the world, but especially of the United States, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, well, we drive everything in this case, no pun intended. And if we can head back towards self-reliance, it changes the cost of kerosene for the poorest people in the world, who right now literally do not have the money to buy the kerosene to cook their food. So it all loops back, and if America wants to be what I consider responsible for itself, and that is, we have both the wealth and the technology to make ourselves energy independent. if we do that, it helps everybody. You know, it's the best thing we could do for the world if we did it.
Would you agree with me, Joel, when I say that if the United States were going to look around the landscape and say, okay, what is one thing that we could literally dominate again in on the world marketplace? We could literally establish the United States as the world leader for the rest of this century. It would be in the development of new energy technologies. What would you say?
Right. And as long as the word should be sustainable energy technology.
Yep.
So that once we sell the technology to someone else, they don't have to buy stuff from us. It's not like we have to buy oil from Saudi Arabia. Once you set up that solar unit, once you set up that biodiesel unit, they then are in control of their own future.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And then they're able to raise their economies and buy other stuff from us.
It's staggering how much.
Because I always want to keep selling things, Joe. You know that's my nature. I'm a salesman. Stand by,
yep.
and a free trader through and through. Stand by, 20 till. Right back with our good friend Joel Barker, the author of Five Regions of the Future. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Little Fleetwood Mac bringing us back there. One of their classics, Rhiannon. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. That's where you can find all the things that we do here, including our show and the articles and the Brain Trust members and archives of past shows and the blog, the newsletter. All that's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, answers to your small business questions. You can find it at our knowledge base, askjim.biz. There isn't anything like either one of those websites anywhere else on the planet, I promise you. So check those out. And guess what? Because our corporate sponsors have done what they've done in support of us, we're making all this available to you without any cost, without charge, and no barrier to entry at all. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. Joel Barker is with us. He's our good friend, the author of Five Regions of the Future, Preparing Your Business for Tomorrow's Technology Revolutions. This is available wherever books are sold. And Joel, we're talking about energy, and you've got some examples of some exciting energy breakthroughs, some innovations that you think that are going to be part of our future. Folks, we're talking about what must be done in this country, in this world, on planet Earth, to get us moving in a direction of renewable energy and energy that doesn't kill us. Go ahead.
Right. Though, Jim, I want to correct you. My book is not available wherever books are available, only at Amazon now.
Amazon.
Got taken out of Borders and Barnes & Noble, but Amazon
What's their problem?
Well, it doesn't sell enough. You know, they're all interested in high turnover and not turning over fast enough for them. Let's talk about these two energy things.
All right.
Because they speak to two different spectrums. One speaks to electricity. One speaks to biodiesel. There's a company, Sungri, you pronounce it Synergy, or Sunergy, which has produced a new, what's called a concentrating photovoltaic system. What that is very simple. It's like taking a magnifying glass and putting a magnifying glass. Remember how we used to cook ants?
Yeah.
You know, make that thing really, you know, bring that down. Well, it's in this case, instead of the ant at that focal point, it's a solar cell. And because you're concentrating, you get up to like the equivalent of 2,000 suns of light pouring on that spot.
Wow.
Now, the end result is two things. The chip produces a heck of a lot of electricity. In fact, 37% of the sunlight is converted to electricity directly.
That's high production.
It's huge. Now, here's the downside. It heats that chip up to 3,000 degrees. What Synergy has done is figured out a way to get that heat away so it does not destroy the chip. They are planning to come online starting next year, and their projections are they can produce electricity at 7 cents a kilowatt hour, which is competitive with any system today.
But now, and I don't want to push back on you too much here, Joe, but you know there is such a thing called thermal pollution.
Well, you know,
thermal pollution is where you put heat back into the atmosphere.
Right. But here's what they're going to do, I believe. They don't talk about this publicly, but here's the obvious thing. If you're pulling out, let's call it 1,800-degree temperature after you're done, you can steam water and drive another generator with that excess energy.
Right.
And so my guess is that...
Or heat homes.
Yeah.
How about heat homes? How about blowing some air over that and blowing it over some rocks, putting
Absolutely.
It into some rocks to heat water and... And wow, this is incredible.
Yeah. So that 37% is only the chip efficiency. It's not the reuse of the heat.
Right. So what's holding us back on this one?
Nothing. They're moving right ahead on the manufacturing. That's what's so cool. They are planning in 2009 to begin official manufacturing. So that's as far as I'm concerned, that's a big deal. Now, by the way, it's a great deal for Arizona and Southern California because you want sunlight and no clouds
exactly.
as much as possible.
Well,
right?
anywhere, really, you know, the Southern United States has got a lot of sunlight all across, not just those two places. All right, go ahead.
And Northern Mexico, by the way, so it's a good deal for Mexico. Now, so that, in a sense, that's pouring electricity into the grid at the most time you need it. The middle of the day, when the sun is the hottest, is when you need it for air conditioning and all that sort of stuff. So that's a good deal. Okay, now here's what goes along with it. There's a company called, actually it's a division of a company, called Vertigro Energy out of Texas. And the company is Valcent, V-A-L-C-E-N-T. But they have produced a way of growing algae that allows massive amounts of algae to be cultivated on a very small level. And what it is it's a curtain. Think about a plastic curtain hanging down from a 10-foot hook.
Right.
And tubes running across that curtain. Inside those tubes, water and algae grow, where water is the base and then the algae grows in it. Then they just flush the algae out. Algae will reproduce itself about 3 times a day. Just to get a sense of the volume.
So this would be an alternative to switchgrass and corn. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Because you get much higher density. You don't need to spread it out over
biofuel. It's a biofuel as opposed to the sun that you talked about earlier.
Well, here's when you take the algae out and you squeeze it. It's 50% lipid, which is fat.
Right.
50%, and they said they haven't even fine-tuned that. By the way, what you have left becomes fertilizer, so you use it again. It's a closed system, so when they squeeze the water out, they put the water back
in. They save everything but the squeal here, folks.
Yep, exactly. That's right. Now, here's the numbers. Take New Mexico, take one-tenth of all of New Mexico, set it up with the Vertigo system, and you can grow all the liquid fuels the United States uses.
Wow.
It is
how do they? But what's the conversion process? You know, I'm a detractor of the corn ethanol thing. I don't think ethanol is our future, and I think it's creating more problems than it's going to produce solutions.
Well, as long as you're using food stocks for it, it's going to all cause problems.
Well, how is this? How do you convert this? Do you ferment it like you do corn?
No. It's what you get. A lipid is a fat. Fat just needs to be refined, and it's a number two fuel oil.
So it's like making fuel out of the fat that we get from restaurants and things like that.
Exactly.
Except we're growing it, and for that purpose. And of course, we know about hybridization and all that. There's no telling, 10 years from now, after they get working on this thing, it could come up with a super algae that jumps out of the tube and right into your car engine. Who knows? This is real stuff, though, folks. I'm having a little fun with him, but this is real things. These are real companies. Stay with us. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back. 7 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's ZZ Top bringing us back. And our good friend Joel Barker is still with us. And by the way, folks, his website is joelbarker.com. Right, Joel? That's it? Joel Barker?
Yep.
You can find out more about him and all the things that he does. He is the paradigm man, too, by the way, folks. And if you don't know what a paradigm is, look it up. Or go to that website and find out about it. It'll change your world, ladies and gentlemen. Joel, you've given us some wonderful examples of some real-life things that are going on in the world of energy. There are so many things there are people in Detroit developing hydrogen cells that I've interviewed on the show. There are people who want to grow switchgrass. There are people who believe that the corn is the key, the sugar is the key to our future, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, here's the thing. I've had my opinion about all these things, but one thing is for sure. This country, the United States and planet Earth, has got to get its cornflakes together with regard to energy. We've got to get off of carbon fuels. I believe that. I'm not, you know, I'm as far away from Al Gore as anybody can be philosophically, but I do believe that that's not our future. And what is it going to take for the leadership in our country for somebody to stand up and say, okay, folks, this is a national project. We're going to put our national focus on this one thing because this could be the key to the success of the human race, not just the United States. What do you think? What do you got to do, Joe?
It's exactly that way. And by the way, notice what Washington has done is defaulted to the market. It said, we are not going to provide the leadership. We'll let the market drive it. And so we now have $130 a barrel oil heading toward $200. Somebody said the Saudis love it, but here's the price they like best. 120, 120, 10. 120, 120, 10. And that $10 a barrel is in there to kill any new projects that are
what we had back in 1981 or so.
We did. And so one of the messages of leadership the United States has to say is, no, we will never let 10 happen again, because we want to make sure our people who are working on these alternatives get a payback that is worth their time and effort. I think all my research says we've got probably 24 projects right now in the United States that could lead to success. Well, that means if we get 2 or 3, we're fine.
Right.
So what we have to do is make sure as a nation that we put the underpinning so they don't get their legs cut out financially from them just as they're getting close.
Well, there's also more to this, though, and this is the agro lobby has got Joel, I grew up on a farm. I love my farmers. But this is bigger than farmers. The subsidy for corn, the focus on corn to become ethanol, in my opinion, is not a technology that's going to succeed, and is creating more problems than is providing solutions.
Right.
And I think how do we get off of that? And I'm worried that the kinds of programs that you're reporting to us today are not going to get the sunlight that they need because of this canard that I think corn is.
Yeah. Instead of subsidizing corn, what we should have done is subsidized alternative. We should have set up an institute that said, here is $10 billion a year.
Give them specifications. Here are your specifications. This is what you got to create. And the first one there gets the money.
Yeah. And we're not going to subsidize the process. We're going to subsidize the research. That's what we're going to put the money under. And that would have changed everything. Because then if the farmer said, well, if it's only for research, then we should figure out the cheapest stuff to do, because corn costs too much. That's not a good system.
Well, not only does it cost too much, but it's inefficient.
Yeah.
There's no positive to converting corn into ethanol, folks. It's a loser, actually.
Exactly, and that's what I meant by cost. In a lot of ways, it costs too much.
Yeah.
It costs
on many
food
levels.
Costs. It costs just the energy it takes to make it. So part of the lesson is we need a wiser Washington to focus the money where it should be. You know, these contests that have been happening, the private contests, they've been very effective. Why can't we have a $100 billion 10-year contest for new energy sources and make it a really, it's a $1 billion award if you get it. You'd get people all over the place really interested
in that. This is where some independent should be running right now for 2012 with this is their sole platform almost. I mean, almost the sole platform is how we're going to have somebody like you to be their one of their advisors and I think, because I don't think either one of the current political parties have the cadre, the bench, the bullpen to pull off the kind of leadership you and I are talking about.
I think it's another set of equipment that's missing, Jim.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Hey, I think we're looking for love in all the wrong places, Joe. Hey, thanks for being here, Joe. It's good to have you here,
always.
We'll see you next time. Joe Barker, ladies and gentlemen, joebarker.com. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.